Today I want to talk about suffering. I know that this is a very unpopular subject, both in the body of Christ and in our culture today, for a number of reasons. One is because nobody wants to suffer. Nobody likes suffering. Nobody's a glutton for the pain and the discomfort of suffering. Another reason is because we live in a culture that avoids pain and suffering at all costs. As a result, we will do all that we can to protect ourselves from suffering. So we eat right and exercise. We save money and work hard. We avoid dangerous places. We teach our children right from wrong. But no matter how careful we are or what precautions we take, sooner or later, suffering shows up like an uninvited guest that doesn't know when to leave. It shows up in our health and in the health of our loved ones. Suffering shows up in our career and in our finances, in our home and in our relationships. Tragedy, pain, financial crisis, relational discord and disaster come without notice and breach our well-intentioned fences and barriers that we put up to protect ourselves from suffering. You see, the thing about suffering is it goes against what we believe about how life should work. We believe deep down in our hearts that suffering and tragedy should only happen to bad people, not to good people. And every single one of us in this room, we consider ourselves good. We don't think we've done anything. We shouldn't experience suffering. We get it when suffering comes on bad people because they deserve it. And we believe in karma, even in the body of Christ. Folks talking about karma. If you're bad, then you deserve that bad, that the universe would send bad back to you. But if you're good, you deserve only good things. Of course, we think that we are good. But it's recorded in Matthew chapter number 5, verse number 45. Write this down in your notes page in your illuminator. It says, he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. In other words, there are good things that happen to good people and bad people. And there are bad things that happen to good people and bad people. You know, another thing that we like to believe about how this life works and how suffering should work in this life is we believe life is all about happiness. I can't tell you how many times I hear that. I just want to be happy. We describe people's success based on whether or not they are happy. We've gotten to the place where we worship at the altar of happiness. And anything that interrupts our happiness, we believe has no business in our life. We believe it has no benefit, it has no purpose, it has no place. Even in the church, we've developed a theology of happiness over and above holiness. So we will abandon holy matrimony in search of happiness. We'll walk away from God if he doesn't give us everything we want in search of something that will. We believe that God is here for our pleasure, and his job is to give us comfort and a good life. Instead of a theology of the cross, we've created a theology of comfort. But Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting at verse number 12, to the Christians, He writes this to the Christians that were being persecuted and tortured and imprisoned and even losing their lives. Here's what Peter says to them. He says, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you." As though something strange were happening to you. He says, you shouldn't look at suffering and hardship as something strange. Then he says something strange. He says, "But rejoice. And as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ." Why? "So that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." We've abandoned the depths of the gospel message and tried to replace it with a shallow message of ease. But what separates Christianity from every other ideology and religion is that our God has wounds. Stakes went through his hands and his feet. He was pierced on his side. He wore a crown, but it was a crown of thorns. Our God has wounds. We serve a Savior that has suffered. Isaiah said about Christ in Isaiah 53:3, he says, "He was despised and rejected by mankind. A man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And it was by his suffering, it was by his wounds that we are healed." Peter says in 1 Peter 2:22 about Christ, he says, "He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. And when they hurled insults at him, he didn't even retaliate. And when he suffered, he made no threats. Indeed, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly, and he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness, because by his wounds, through his suffering, you have been healed." We serve a Savior that secured our salvation not in spite of the cross, but rather through the cross. Suffering was a part of the redemptive act of God through Christ. And although God doesn't bring suffering into our lives, he allows it, though, and uses suffering to get the glory out of us. The thing about suffering is it comes in all sorts of forms and for all kinds of different reasons. It's recorded in the Old Testament that David cheated with another man's wife and then had her husband killed. And David suffered as a consequence of his own sinful behavior. But God used it to purge David's heart. Paul suffered as a result of doing good, preaching the gospel. He was beaten and imprisoned and attacked by his own people. Think about some suffering as God allows it when we are even doing good for righteous' sake. But God used that suffering to show Paul a strength in him that he would not have otherwise known. Mary, the mother of Christ, experienced the suffering that comes from loss. She had to witness the death of her son. And although suffering comes in many forms and for many reasons, at the root of it is sin. Because there is sin in the world, it produces pain and suffering. You know, it makes sense to us when someone suffers because they have done something wrong, but it's hard to wrap our arms around a situation when someone has to suffer who is innocent. Just ask Job. Job, who was a righteous man, suffered tremendous loss. Lost his children, lost his wealth. And while both he and his wife experienced the same pain and the same suffering, she wanted to curse God. While Job said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. You know, we all think we know how we'll respond in the face of suffering until suffering really hits home. And then the real is revealed. I tell you, suffering has a way of making some people cling to God while others reject him. Suffering has a way of making some people grow closer to him while others decline in character or move further away from him. Some grow in character while others decline in character in the face of suffering. Suffering has a way of ridding some of us of our pride and leading us to find true joy in the security of Christ, while others shake their fist at God and retreat to their own devices. There's a saying that I found that says, the same sun that melts wax hardens clay. In other words, depending on the way that you respond to suffering will determine the way that it shapes your life. But it's God's desire that he would use suffering like a purifying fire that makes you more like him and to make you a light in this world. God will use suffering to magnify the glory of God through you if you allow him to. He'll use it to remove our weaknesses and to build us up. He'll use it to teach us how to completely rely on him and his power and his strength. God will even use suffering to draw us so close and dear to him. He'll use it to make us more compassionate toward others. I tell you, suffering has a way of making you not turn your nose up at anybody. Suffering has a way of making you a lot less judgmental. And suffering has a way of making tenderizing your heart toward other people. God can use suffering for your good and for his glory. I said, God can use suffering for your good and for his glory. I want to close today by looking at Mark chapter number 14, starting at verse number 32. In this passage of scripture, Christ shows us what to do when we're suffering so that God can use it for his glory. Mark 14, verse 32 says this. They went to a place called Gethsemane. Jesus said to his disciples, sit here while I pray. He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death, he said to them. Stay here and keep watch. 35, going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will. What does Christ teach us about how to get through suffering? How to handle suffering? Write these two things down. The first one is, reach out to friends. I wanted to add a caveat there. Reach out to godly friends. When you're suffering, surround yourself with the right people. Jesus surrounded himself with his disciples. We usually do the opposite, don't we? When we're suffering and in pain, our tendency, our go-to move is to pull away from everybody. We stop coming to church. We stop going to growth group. We isolate ourselves rather than connect with the body of Christ for strength. Suffering brings excruciating pain. And that's why instead of running away from the people of God, we need to run to them. Now, not everybody can handle what you're going through. I'll agree with that. But there are some people who can. And what amazes me is that Jesus himself, in the time of the most excruciating time of his life, when he was experiencing suffering, he could have gotten alone with the Father, but he surrounded himself with friends. Gathered them. And then here's what he did in verse 34. You know what he says? He talked about what he was going through. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Sometimes we think that we're the only person in pain and no one can know. And there are so many of us that are suffering in silence. Because we're afraid. We think that if we tell somebody, they're going to look down on us. They're going to think that we're weak. They're going to think, well, it must be because you're just not doing right, or you brought this on yourself. Whatever the circumstance may be, because all of us have experienced suffering for all of those reasons. For righteousness' sake, because we've messed up and made the wrong, but that's what Christ went through the suffering for. He didn't just go through the suffering for righteous people. He went through the suffering for us that messed up and brought it on ourselves. Thank God he did. But he reached out. He talked about what he was going through. He knew that he needed to share this suffering. It was too much for one person to bear. And some of you are here today and you're suffering and you're being crushed under the pressure of it. And there are people around you that if you would open your mouth, you won't have to suffer alone. We won't judge you. Why? Because our hearts have been tenderized by our own suffering. Our hearts have been tenderized by our own fumbling and bumbling. So we'll embrace you. Paul says in Galatians 6:2, carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And as a part of the body of Christ, we have to learn that this is a place where we can come and we can unload our burdens. It's a judgment-free zone. Because all of us are born sinners. Oh, the whole church should have said amen.
Amen.
All of us have fallen short. None of us is perfect. And if you're not suffering today, watch out. Keep on trucking. Keep on living. I don't wish suffering on anybody. But we live in a world where suffering will show up. And you need to be able to have some people in your life that you can go to. And listen. I'm calling all CIA Secret Service Christians out of hiding. We got Christians and witness protection programs that nobody can know their business. I mean, my God. Listen. Let me tell you something. Pain is one of those universal things that we can all relate to. And I want to encourage you to find some people. I was talking to someone today, not today. I was talking to someone, some young folks a couple of days ago. And they were going through something. And they said they wanted to share it with their growth group, but they were afraid. And I said, you don't have to be afraid. Those people there will embrace you and love you. And they won't treat you any differently. As a matter of fact, I'm guessing they're gonna want to love on you even more. Because there are people right in your row and sitting behind you and in front of you that have suffered, maybe not exactly the way that you have, but their heart is open to say, hey, I'm willing to walk with you through this fire. I'm willing to help carry this burden with you, whether it means I'll pray with you. Sometimes you don't even have a word to say, but just being with me. Didn't say what Peter and them were saying with Jesus, but Jesus said, I just want you with me. Just be close by. Just your presence, the ministry of presence, will help me to get through this suffering moment. You weren't created to be in isolation. You weren't created to be off by yourself. You were created to be in fellowship. You were created to be connected. You were created. It says every joint supplies. You are part of the body of Christ. And that's why it's so important that you be connected to a local church where you can have these types of relationships and the benefits that come with the commitment of being connected. Jesus, in his moment of suffering, reached out to friends. Thank God for friends, and friends try to be there as much as they can, but they certainly can't be there like God can. The second thing that he did was he reached out to God. He reached out to his heavenly Father. Jesus prayed in his time of suffering. Look at verses 35 and 36. He says, going a little further, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible, the hour might pass from him. Abba, Father, he said, everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you will. He says, everything is possible for you. In other words, in Jesus' prayer, he acknowledged that God has the power to do anything. Listen, you may be suffering, but don't ever lose sight of the fact that God is still in control. Would you encourage somebody to tell them God's still in control? Jesus says, I acknowledge, I recognize, God, that you can do anything. That just because things are out of my control, I know that they still are in your control. And I don't care how high the waters rise, God's still in control. I don't care how much they turn the fiery furnace up, God is in control. I don't care what they say on your job, he's still the provider. I don't care what the doctor's report is, he's still a healer. He's still a way maker. He's still a deliverer. I don't care how long you've been in this mess, he is able. He's more than able. Jesus says, I recognize that you are the great I am, that you are the mighty one, that you are the creator of the heavens and the earth, that you can do anything but fail. So he starts his prayer that way, and then he says this. He says, take this cup from me. What Jesus did was he made his request known to the Father. God, here's what I'd like for you to do. Isn't it wonderful that we have a Father that we can go to and we can share exactly what's on our heart and what we'd like for him to do on our behalf? The scripture talks about how we don't have to go meekly, but we can even go boldly to his throne, and we can make our requests known to him, and that he loves us so much that he hears every time that we call. And even when we don't have the words to say, he knows our groans and our cries and our moans and our pain. Even speak to him, and he hears us every time. Jesus says, here's what I need from you, God. Here's what I want. Here's what I'd like for you to do. And I want to encourage you, you can make your request known. Sometimes we think that we're disqualified to ask things of the Father, but as long as you're his child, he will treat you like he's the Father. I have three children, and sometimes, not very often, every blue moon, they disappoint me. That was meant to be funny. And they may mess up and do things. But guess what? The next day, they don't have a problem. Yo, I'm going to Wawa. See ya. Like, why's your hand out? They don't have a problem. Come in, bold face. Bold face, Mom Marva. With a request. I was telling one of my kids, listen. No, I'm not going to. Joker never has a problem asking Woldy. Never! And it's sometimes in the craziest of times. Like, I just finished telling you off, and now you got your hand out? What? Like, I'm just now finished, and he's like, let me get the keys. What? Are you not understanding what's going on here? But there's something about the connection between a father and his child. There's a comfort level of knowing that, you know what, no matter what, I know he still loves me. I know he's still going to come through. I know he can't help himself. I know I'm just going to ask anyway, because I know sooner or later he's going to come through. And you know, let me tell you what the worst part of it is, Tyrone. I'm like this. Here, go on, go on, go on. You can ask your father. And it's not based on your goodness. It's based on the fact that you're his child. And Jesus asked, surrounded himself with friends. And then he went to God. And he prayed and he said, I know you can do anything. Then he made his request known. And then he says, not what I will, but what you will. Lastly, he submitted to God's will. In other words, he says, if I have to suffer, I will. He trusted that God would get the glory even through suffering. and that God's will was the best for him. I think that part of the prayer is the hardest part. To say, God, I'd rather go another route. But if you take me this route, if you allow me to go this route, I'm going to trust you. I wanted to remember that scripture that Brother Trevor used. He got a card from some co-workers when he was in the rehab. And on the card, there was a scripture. And I believe it was from Isaiah. And it said, though the floodwaters rise. In other words, no matter what happens, if you take me down this road, if you take me through the valley of the shadow of death, if you take me the road of this narrow road that's less traveled, if you take me through the scars and the pain, I'm gonna trust you. It's not my choice. It's not what I would choose. It's not the way that I would go. But if you're allowing me to go this way, it's because you have a purpose. It's because you have a plan. If you're allowing me to go this way, it's because you want to get the glory out of this. You're not going to waste this experience. Are you suffering today? Are you in pain? Are you here today and you've been carrying these burdens and you haven't told a soul because you think it's your fault? Or because you think because of the bad decision that maybe you made? Or maybe it's because you think things are hopeless because they've been so bad for so long? Or maybe because you think that things can't change? I want you to know that you have a Savior who suffered and knows what you're feeling. And if you trust him with your suffering and your pain, he will give you the strength to make it through. And then you know what he'll do? He'll show you how he's going to use it to get the glory even out of your suffering. I want to pray for you today. Maybe you're here suffering today relationally or financially or even physically. Maybe you're here and you're depressed or you're living in fear. Maybe you're suffering from a devastating loss. Whatever it is, Jesus is here. And he knows your pain because he suffered like you and me. And he wants to comfort you today and strengthen you today. He wants to show you that there's a purpose even in the pain. He wants to show you how he can get the glory even through your suffering. Would you stand with me? If that's you today and you'd like prayer, I want you to just come to this altar as quickly as you can. Come as quickly as you can. The elders are coming.